As well as being an expert on money matters, did you know that Which also has a team of experts in various aspects of UK law? Which's legal advice service gives its members access to this team, allowing them to call up and get advice on a range of legal matters that impact consumers' everyday lives. Whether it's a rental dispute, a last-minute holiday cancellation, or legal employment advice, Which can give you personalised, one-to-one advice in a simple, convenient, and affordable manner. Don't struggle in silence or suffer the stress of wading through endless streams of online information from unreliable sources. Join Which Legal and speak to one of our experts to get the advice and guidance you need tailored to you. What's more, the Which Legal offer is now live, meaning you can join and get legal support from Which for a whole year for just £69.30, a saving of 30%. Go to legalservice.which.co.uk to find out more, or click the link in the podcast show notes. This offer ends on the 16th of June, so don't miss out.
When life gives you questions, Which? Get answers.
Welcome to the Which Money Podcast, your weekly hit of money news and personal finance hacks to help make you better off. I'm your host, Lucia Ariano, and here's what's coming up this week.
There's clear evidence that the majority of the public want them to do more. They care about this stuff. Of course they want financial returns, but they also want their money to be doing some good whilst it's generating those returns.
Having these rules in place now gives companies the certainty they need to go ahead and launch these products, because there is appetite for it that's not being met at the moment.
This week on the podcast, we're looking at greenwashing in the finance industry. Now, there's just been a new rule introduced by the Financial Conduct Authority that aims to crack down on dodgy sustainability claims in financial products. So how will things be changing, and how will it protect you from being misled? Well, to help us answer this and how you can choose the right financial products for you with sustainability and wider environmental issues in mind, we're joined by Which Money's Deputy Editor Sam Richardson and Hugh Davies from Make My Money Matter, a charity focused on sustainability in financial services. Hello both, welcome.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Lucia.
Well, Hugh, shall we just have a quick introduction to you, because for anyone who's not familiar with yourself or the work that Make My Money Matter does.
Yeah, great. And look, thank you for having me on the podcast. It's really good to speak with you. So like you say, I'm part of Make My Money Matter, and you may have seen some of the short films we've produced, like the recent one, which starred Olivia Colman as Olivia Coalmine. And we're a public campaign which aims to raise public and organizational awareness of the power of our money, and then connect this movement to policymakers and finance sector leaders to achieve change. And I think it's great to talk about this new anti-greenwashing rule, because it's a really good example of regulators responding to what the public wants and problems in the finance industry.
Thanks, Hugh. So good to have you on the show. I can't wait to hear what you're going to be telling us about. So I mentioned in the intro that a new rule has been introduced by the Financial Conduct Authority, the FCA. But before we get into that, can we just rewind a little bit? Hugh, now greenwashing, it's a term that comes up a lot across the board, you know, around health and beauty products, food and drinks. But to the finance industry, what exactly does it mean?
Sure. And firstly, I just want to say that we very much welcome what the regulators are trying to do in stopping this greenwashing and protecting consumers. It's great that the Financial Conduct Authority is taking this seriously. I'd describe greenwashing as portraying brands and products as cleaner and more sustainable than they are through a mixture of words, images, and bias, which can be bold or it could be subtle. And linked to this as well is the omission of detail about harm being caused by their activity. And the reason this is so important, the reason why it's so important to talk about this, is that most people care and are concerned about the climate and nature emergency that we're in. So just to remind your listeners, you know, we're currently on track for nearer 3 degrees of catastrophic heating rather than the 1.5 degree goal that governments recommitted to just last year. And this is really important to all of us, as it will impact our lives in many ways. And we're already seeing significant examples here and around the world. And then, of course, the connection to the financial sector is that it's a very important part of what happens next, because how the trillions of pounds in our pensions are put to work and what our biggest banks choose to finance will play an important role in the future outcomes that we face.
And shall we bring in then this new ruling from the FCA? Sam, it's something we've been waiting for. Our listeners might remember us talking about this on the show a while back. What's changing?
Yeah, so the FCA's come up with these explicit rules about how you advertise financial products, a whole range of products, bank accounts through to investments, because they're all FCA regulated. Essentially, if they want to advertise product or service as sustainable, they need to back up that claim. Otherwise, they'll face fines and embarrassment. So take a savings account that's labelled as green. There must now be evidence provided to consumers that explains, well, how is the money that you're putting in that savings account being used to, say, support sustainable industries or avoid going into fossil fuels, for instance. The FCA is also warning against greenwashing through impression created by, say, images, logos, colours. You know, we see images of trees always used beside these savings account. Often the savings account that is, you know, being used beside has nothing to do with sustainability. And firms will also need to explain their processes. So say we're talking about a green investment fund. They'll need to explain how they're picking the stocks that go into that investment fund. It's not enough anymore just to, you know, give it that kind of overall label. They really have to give you all the information.
I suppose my question is then, how big is the problem here? You know, Hugh, at Make My Money Matter, raising public awareness of sustainability in this area is what you're all about. So can you talk to us a bit more about why you think change is so needed? You know, how big is the problem here?
Well, what I really liked when I looked through the FCA's new rule and guidance was that they actually show that their own research shows that over 80% of consumers want their money to do good as well as deliver a return. And this is something that we really recognize in our work too. But the thing is that many people and organizations don't think of money as part of their sustainable choices and what they can do, despite it being one of the most powerful things. And what we see is that our largest high street banks, so that's Barclays, HSBC, Santander, NatWest and Lloyds, they're all funding companies involved in fossil fuel expansion, even in 2023, which was the hottest year on record. And then on our pensions, they invest billions in fossil fuels, in companies linked to deforestation and other areas that people may not be happy about. So you could have this slightly perverse situation where a vegetarian could be invested in intensive farming or a doctor could be invested in tobacco. So ultimately, we might find that our retirement savings could be working against our values and the world we want to retire into. But in terms of the scale of the problem, I mean, there's been a lot of media stories about controversial finance activity for a while now. And we've also seen examples of bank adverts being banned for misleading consumers about green credentials. And maybe I could just say there's two big problems that are linked to this, which are a lack of trust and a lack of transparency. And the FCA mentions that trust is vital and it's lacking. And some interesting stats that it puts in its guidance, it says that 7 in 10 investors say they think that many investments that claim to be sustainable actually aren't. And then also this problem of transparency, a real lack of transparency in the finance industry. And that means that when green claims or suggestions are made, it's really hard for an average customer to know whether it's fair or misleading.
It is extremely hard. And that's something we'll be getting onto in much more detail as the show goes on. And Sam, is there anything you'd add to this, you know, from your experience in the sector? What kinds of examples have you seen of banks and others in the finance sector being dishonest, say, around sustainability claims?
Yeah, we've got a few examples. So in October 2022, the Advertising Standards Authority banned two posters by HSBC for greenwashing because they failed to provide the broader context of HSBC pouring loads and loads of money into the fossil fuel industry. These ads were talking about HSBC's investment in green technologies, but didn't mention the bank's contribution to climate change at all. So they were kind of very unbalanced. And of course, you know, the Advertising Standards Authority had power even before these new FCA rules, but it just wasn't able to be involved enough. And we also spotted one a while back, and this product has since had its name changed, but essentially it was a green savings account. And what made it green was for each account you open, they would plant one tree. And we thought that didn't really make the grade as a green product. You know, you could potentially have hundreds of thousands of pounds in that account and you're getting one tree from it. So we actually got them to rename it to, yeah, something involving the tree. But now the provider has done it, I'm kind of reluctant to crucify them again. And then more seriously, we had US regulators came down very hard and quite rightly on a German asset manager called DWS, which is due to pay $25 million to settle charges over statements it made about its investments being more environmental than they were. And frankly, these are probably just the peak of the iceberg.
And, you know, we're not throwing shade on planting trees. That's all great in its own respect. But is it going far enough? And that's something we'll be talking about in the show today. But can we zoom in then on the effect this is having on consumers, the effect greenwashing has on consumers? Hugh, can you speak to us a little bit more about the kind of impact it has on you and I and consumers?
Yeah, like I alluded to earlier, I think there's a real issue of trust here. So and that does link to that other issue around transparency. Is I think there's not much understanding of what our money is potentially up to, but at the same time, there's a real rise in concern about climate change, about sustainability, about nature, and I think people increasingly feel uncomfortable with firstly not knowing enough and secondly not knowing maybe who they can trust. So that's why we recently wrote to the regulators. So on the day that the anti-greenwashing rule and guidance came into effect on the 31st of May, we wrote to them, as well as the Competition and Markets Authority and the Advertising Standards Authority, and we asked them to consider an investigation into greenwashing at our largest high street banks. And we set out two main reasons as to why we think this is needed and why it's relevant to individuals, to customers. And firstly, that is the mismatch between their promotion of climate statements and 1.5 degree alignment efforts, which they all talk about, with the real world activity and companies that they continue to support, which are not aligned to these objectives. And then secondly, like we've touched on a bit already, the imagery and relative prominence of climate and sustainability in their brand materials, in contrast to a lack of transparency around their unsustainable finance activity. So in terms of impacts on individuals, we think that these two points really create a situation where those major bank brands could well be understood by the public to be more sustainable than they are, and therefore influence their product and service choices, which could be a really big problem given that most UK consumers, as we know, have a relationship with these banks.
And shall we get a bit deeper then into this FCA ruling? You know, Hugh, you've mentioned you welcomed it. What do you make of it?
Well, like I say, I think it's good to see the intention and the seriousness that the FCA is approaching this with. They set out very clearly their rationale for doing it. They set out survey information, like I've touched on already, about how the public cares about this stuff. And they seem to be really setting out seriously to do something about it. So obviously what we hope now is that they actually act on that and follow through on it.
Well, Sam, then, you know, will this make a lot of difference for financial companies? And what will they have to do differently now to comply? And to go from what Hugh's just ended on, what will happen if they don't? You know, how is it going to be monitored?
Yeah, so the FCA, the regulator, will be monitoring it. They've got the power to fine companies, but they may also put a lot of focus on just embarrassing companies by making statements and calling them out on these claims. You know, we have been frustrated with the FCA in the past when they've moved quite slowly with calling out companies, but, you know, got to give them a chance, these new rules, and see what happens. In terms of what companies will do differently, they'll need to be more careful. So as I was talking earlier about these pictures of trees beside any old product, well, hopefully that era will come to an end. They'll have to be much more careful with the wording and imagery they use. They'll have to provide more explanation. I suspect we'll see, you know, a lot more kind of documents to go with green products, especially more complicated ones, such as investment funds. And they'll have to show the negative environmental impacts of green label products, So, you know, although our fund invests in wind farms, we also invest in transportation, which has emissions. And I'd love this, you know, to be a new era of balanced, informative marketing that doesn't just, you know, reduce everything to its most basic element. But I suspect all this explanation will be relegated to the small print, so you'll still have to delve quite deep as a consumer.
And in terms of, you know, how this will change how these businesses are operating, Hugh, do you think we might see financial products becoming greener, so to speak, or just a change in the way companies are marketing their existing products?
I think obviously we want, and we very much hope, that this regulatory focus will drive improvements, which ultimately will be very helpful for consumers. But we do need to be aware of this risk of something called green hushing, which is where companies go quiet on sustainability because maybe they're scared about being called out, or maybe it's too much hassle, or all sorts of reasons. And so we suggested in the letter that I've talked about, we've suggested to the regulators that there should be complementary regulations that place a greater burden on those companies that are unsustainable to avoid a situation where polluting companies are just let off because they choose not to say something about sustainability. So we don't have that kind of loophole. The second point is that, you know, that this FCA regulation is primarily about products and services. And so when we talk about companies and the brand level greenwashing, I think that's really important. And this is a point that we made in our letter, because we'd like to see this tightened. We think that consumers may choose a product or a service in part because of the brand and their perception of it. So there's a very clear connection here. And we believe that an average customer who cares about sustainability could quite easily find headlines and imagery and website claims relating to sustainability at a brand level rather than products, which could create an unduly positive brand image from which they then go on to choose products and services. But if they were aware of the companies and the activity that bank finances, then they may in fact decide that bank is not for them. Now, the FCA does in its guidance remind firms that the CMA and the ASA's guidance and also other principles that the FCA has do apply to sustainability related claims that a firm may make about itself. But we would like to see that connected a bit more explicitly.
Well, we have covered so much ground already. It is a minefield for consumers. But after the break, we'll be diving into how you can put these new rules into practice and make greener decisions when it comes to your banking.
Like listening to podcasts just like this one from the team at Which? Well, we've got some good news. All our podcasts are now available to listen to on YouTube and YouTube Music. So whether you like listening to Get Answers, Which Shorts or Which Money, all episodes can now be listened to directly on YouTube or through the YouTube Music app. To find them, just search for the podcast you'd like to listen to. YouTube's additional functionality also means that you can now read along with subtitles as you listen. Don't panic though, all Which podcasts are still available to listen to elsewhere too. So wherever you listen, we'll see you soon.
Now, just before we jump back into it, I want to tell you about a brand new series we're going to be bringing you here at Which. From next week, we're going to be starting with the Which Money Shorts series, which you can find right here on the Money Podcast feed. Every fortnight, we'll be giving you a taster of some of the brilliant journalism you can find in the Which Money magazine. Our fantastic team of journalists work all year round to bring Which Money subscribers reviews, investigations and features in the bi-monthly magazine. And starting next week, we'll be handpicking our favourite pieces and bringing them to life right here on the Which Money Podcast. The first episode of Which Money Shorts drops on Monday, the 17th of June. Now, from the end of July, new labels for investment funds will be introduced then. So, Sam, firstly, can you tell us more about this and what each of the labels means?
Yes, certainly. So I'll really try not to be self-congratulatory here, but we are actually quite proud these labels have been introduced, because we did quite a lot of research about 2 years ago into whether consumers actually understood green investment products, the terminology about it. You know, what does ESG actually mean in many cases?
It meant absolutely nothing. We covered it on the pod. Our listeners, I'm sure, will remember. We've been following this quite closely, haven't we?
Yeah, and it can be really, really complicated. And so these labels designed to make it a lot less complicated, give people a lot more confidence to find a fund that is, you know, more sustainable and put their money in it. So there are four labels that they've introduced. There was going to be a fifth one called Responsible, which we, among many other organizations, told the FCA it was slightly meaningless and would confuse people, so they dropped that. But the ones they have stuck with are called Sustainability Impact, which is a label that can be used for funds that invest in assets directly making a positive impact. So for instance, firms that build wind farms. There's another label called Sustainability Focus, which is funds that invest in assets meeting a robust evidence-based standards of sustainability. Essentially, it's only firms that are sustainable already. They're not investing in fossil fuels, for instance. Then we move to Sustainability Improvers. This is funds that invest in assets that have the potential to meet a robust evidence-based standard of sustainability. And then we got Sustainability Mixed Goals, which is funds that invest with a mix of the other strategies. Now, what's really useful about these labels is to qualify for a label at 70% of the assets held in a fund must meet those objectives. And the remaining 30% can't be in conflict. So if we go back to, say, Sustainability Focus, the ones only invest in sustainable companies, you can't have, you know, 30% of that being filled with horrible fossil fuel extraction firms. So I will say that fund managers don't have to apply for a label. And that, you know, we were talking earlier about green hushing. There is a slight risk that no one will actually use these labels. However, if they don't use a label, they're not allowed to use any of the language associated with that. So they can't say that, you know, we're running this green impact fund if they don't have that sustainability impact label.
And can we get into some advice now then, Hugh, for anyone listening who maybe wants to start making greener banking choices? You know, what advice do you have?
Yeah, so for individuals and looking at banks and pensions, which is where our focus is and what is probably most relevant to more people, you could look into alternatives that might be better for you. So there are green banks out there. There are building societies. There are certain digital banks that are fossil fuel free. And it's easy to switch now. So take a look at the guides. There's a good fossil fuel guide that Which produced. And also sites like Bank Green, which has more information on all of the different alternatives that might work for you.
And you mentioned pensions then too. What advice would you give for consumers on pensions?
So I think on pensions, it could be more complicated about what options you may or may not have for various reasons. But you might find, for example, that your current pension provider offers a fossil-free funds choice or an ethical funds choice. And if you're saving in a pension via your employer, then one important thing that you can do is to raise any concerns and questions that you have with them to increase the focus on sustainability within your company, within the HR department and whoever is organizing your pension for you.
And Sam, we've done a lot of research at Which into the greenest banks and also the ones letting consumers down. Can you spill the tea?
Yes. So we looked into this towards the end of last year. We essentially wanted to see if banks used people's money to invest in fossil fuels. And if they didn't, did they actually have explicit policies in place to prevent them doing so in future? It's all very well that, oh, we don't have any money in fossil fuels now, but, you know, next year we might do. So the results in terms of the worst offenders are not particularly surprising. It's the high street banks, as Hugh was pointing out earlier. Not all of them are quite as bad, but they're all essentially, almost all of them involved in fossil fuels. With JP Morgan Chase, which runs Chase Bank, being one of the worst offenders, Barclays was also particularly bad. It's worth remembering as well that, say, if you're a First Direct customer, for the purposes of this investigation, you're an HSBC customer because HSBC owns First Direct, and Halifax Bank of Scotland come under Lloyds. But more positively, we picked three eco providers, banks we thought were green and could be relied upon. So there was Triodos, which has always been a green bank, as far as I'm aware. They're very much set up for people who really care where their money's going. And you could actually, on their website, see a list of the projects that they're invested in. They've got very strict policies over what they do with your money. There was also the Cooperative Bank, which, although it isn't currently part of the Co-op group, although there are discussions about it being bought by a building society, the Cooperative Bank has an ethical policy, what they'll use people's monies for, which is quite long-running. And prohibits fossil fuels as part of that. And then encouragingly, there was one high street provider, which was Nationwide. Nationwide also has a very strict ethical policy. In reality, most of Nationwide's money is used for mortgage lending, which, you know, isn't necessarily out there green, but at least it's not going into fossil fuels.
I was quite happy to hear Nationwide there as well, because, you know, on the show and generally at Which, we rave quite a lot about the incentives you can get for switching bank accounts. And Nationwide is one of those that comes up quite a lot. So it's nice to know that you're not going to be missing out necessarily by opting for green.
So at the moment, they have a switch offer. So it's for existing members, and you'll get £200 if you switch a non-Nationwide bank account with at least two active direct debits to Nationwide. So it could be that you already have a mortgage with Nationwide, which would make you a member, but you don't have your current account with them. This is quite a good opportunity to get £200 cash. And of course, Nationwide, both this year and last year, paid £100 bonuses to members, effectively as part of profit sharing. It's not guaranteed it will happen next year, but it's certainly one to keep in mind.
Definitely worth noting there. And actually, I should jump on that offer because I think I would fall into that category. But for anyone, you know, not a Nationwide member, do check out our episode from last week where we listed a whole load of switching offers available right now. But back to today's show, can we also just drill down on a little bit more advice for investing? So if you're looking to invest money but avoid fossil fuels or other issues, what can you do?
So look at those FCA labels once they're out, because they'll be a real time saver. I would say, you know, sustainability focus, which is the one that is about investing in only sustainable firms, might be a good one to start with if you are worried about your money going to non-sustainable ones. Sustainability impact is also worth considering, because that's, you know, the more changing the world option. Also, look at the funds we're investing in. Go onto the fund manager's website and look at their top holdings, the companies that they're most invested in. And if you see anything that makes you uncomfortable, don't invest. I mean, what really got me started looking into green investing years ago was I'd taken out, I believe it was called a socially responsible fund, and I found Royal Dutch Shell among the top holdings, which made me really uncomfortable, you know, knowing that my kind of life savings was in that. I would also recommend looking for a fund manager that has a track record of ethical and green investing. We had a real trend a few years ago of fund managers rebranding existing funds at suddenly be green because it was such a trend at the time. But it's that long experience with running funds and influencing companies, something else a fund manager can do. It can influence companies. So the track record's useful. And I would also say if you've got a larger amount to invest and you don't have the time to do it yourself or feel you don't have the knowledge, consider using a financial advisor. So I'd say look for one that's part of the UK Sustainable Investment and Finance Association. Whilst other financial advisors should know about green investing, they may not take it as seriously as they should, whereas one that's part of that association will know what they're doing.
And maybe just to come back to the pensions point, your listeners could take a look at the Pensions Climate Action Report that Make My Money Matter produced. So that's on our website. And that really looked at the 20 largest defined contribution workplace pension providers. So this is a provider level, and you'd recognize you know, many of the names, big names on that list. And what we did was that we looked at their climate action across seven different themes. One of them was fossil fuels, but there were six other really important themes, which we analyzed based on their publicly available information, which is really important, like Sam said earlier about banks. And we came up with a score to grade and rank those providers based on who was doing best. And what you'll see there is that there's quite a large amount of differentiation between the best and the worst. And have to say as well, even the best performer only scored just over 5 out of 10. So without being too pessimistic, there's still a long way to go for the investment industry.
Well, let's talk about that then. You know, to wrap up the show, as I've mentioned already, you know, there really is quite an onus on the customer here. You know, there's a lot to decipher and a lot of research that you need to carry out yourself. As always, I feel like we often come back to that point. But just to end on, you know, can we zoom out? We've talked a lot about the new ruling and all the positivity, but, you know, is it enough? Is there more to be done?
I would like to see more green products. We don't actually see that many in banking and savings. It's very, very niche. And yeah, I return to Hugh's point about green hushing again. I am slightly concerned that providers are too worried to offer these sort of products. And if they do, in the case of, say, National Savings and Investments, NSNI, they launched green bonds, where the savings, the interest rate being paid was really poor. And it put people off. And it gave people this idea that green products will be worse products. And that really needn't be the case. So for me, I hope having these rules in place now gives companies the certainty they need to go ahead and launch these products, because there is appetite for it that's not being met at the moment.
And I'd maybe add to that, Sam, I think in two points. I think there's one for the industry. So we think our banks and our pensions really need to step up now. We're in a climate and nature emergency, and there's clear evidence that the majority of the public want them to do more. They care about this stuff. And like I said earlier, of course they want financial returns, but they also want their money to be doing some good whilst it's generating those returns. So we really need to see some more improvement there. And then from the regulatory side and the greenwashing regulation, like I've said, I think it's a really good start, but there's a few things we'd like the regulator to do now. Firstly, we'd like to make sure that they take action, having set this rule and this guidance out. Secondly, like I mentioned earlier, that they could really clearly connect the greenwashing rule to brand and sustainability claims. And then finally, we'd like to see much more transparency of what is funded by banks and pensions. So we'd like to see requirements on banks to publish lists of clients they finance and material loans made. So Sam mentioned Triodos Bank earlier. I think that's a great example of what's already possible in the industry. We'd like all banks to have a requirement put on them so that that is the case. And then on pensions, it should be made much easier for people to see all of the companies that their money is invested in, so that there's no nasty surprises for them.
Well, what a brilliant show today. We'll pop a few links to useful resources for you in the description of today's show. But thank you very much to both Hugh and Sam for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, a huge thank you again to Sam and Hugh for coming on the show today, and to you for listening to this week's episode of the Which Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please do hit subscribe to make sure you catch our new episodes as soon as they drop. For daily money news and advice, you can find us on social media at Which Money and online at which.co.uk/money. And we also have a free money newsletter, which is delivered to your inbox every Monday. To sign up, visit which.co.uk/money newsletter. This episode of the Which Money Podcast was written by Mealy Chia-Ariano and produced and edited by James.
Do you want access to all of Which's expert product reviews for half the standard price? Well, act fast. Our digital annual offer ends on the 19th of June. That means time is running out to purchase an annual digital subscription at the low price of just £39.50. That's a saving of 50% and works out at less than 80 pence per week. A digital Which subscription gives you access to all of our product reviews, from fitted kitchens and ovens to mattresses, cars and televisions. Which purchase all the products we review and test them rigorously in our lab to ensure they are equipped for real-world demands. Our in-depth reviews are independent and impartial to give you the confidence to make informed purchase decisions that are right for you. The digital subscription also gives you access to the Which app, use of the Ask Which service where you can receive one-to-one personalised buying advice, as well as the digital edition of the Which magazine each month. What's more, sign up now and you will receive the 2024 Which Car Guide. So whatever you have planned for 2024, whether it's a new car or some long-awaited home improvements, save now with a half-price digital annual subscription and make better buying decisions all year round. Offer ends 19th of June.